Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. We are here at CPAC still, even though this is not airing until, gee whiz, what date is this airing? The 11th of March. CPAC, this is actually being taped March 3rd, early in the morning. So, hence some incongruence between events going on and events we're discussing at this time. Anyway, we have a guest sitting here waiting for us to finish up the introduction, so I just want to point out the Silk or Joe Show is brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network. We want to thank them for allowing this program to exist. You can find out more about them at mainstreetradionetwork.com. And also, Salem Radio Network, they've been wonderful distribution partners. Happy to have them on board as well. And as we also are at mainstreetradionetwork.com, the website, and I'm getting distracted by people in the crowd. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, great website. You'll find about this show, the Al and Nathan show, up there as well. You can also find them on Facebook at Main Street Radio, or on Twitter for Al and Nathan at Main Street Radio or at Al and Nathan. And we are, for Silk or Joe Show, our social media is Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. All right, now that's out of the way. We are joined now, of course, for you listening at home, now is actually a week and a half later, by Michael Corbin, Republican congressional candidate for Georgia's 7th District. Michael, happy to have you. How are you today?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. So it's a little bit like Back to the Future here.
Yeah, just a little bit. There's a little time travel involved, so anything you say here, you know, if you object to it, you have...
We got some time to scrub it.
Yep. Yeah, people will notice, you know, if you hear the crowd noise jumping in the background, it's because we edited out all the swears that I put in.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Yeah, appreciate having me on.
All right, sure. So, Georgia's 7th District, where exactly is that?
So, Georgia's 7th District, and it used to be encompassing Alpharetta, Johns Creek, all the way up to Forsyth County, over through the entire greater Gwinnett County in northern Atlanta. We're redistricted in 2022, so it's a smaller district in terms of actual area mass, but it still incorporates Duluth, Georgia. We also have Norcross, Peachtree Corners, Snellville, Lilburn. Highly populated, population of over 1 million, so a lot of voters in the district.
All right. So what are some of the issues that they are facing in your district?
So, not uncommon to the rest of the country, right? We're seeing inflation spike up. Atlanta, especially Metro Atlanta, has seen higher rate of inflation than the rest of the country. On average, we're at about 9.5%. So we're seeing a lot of inflation, and we're also seeing a lot of issues within the schools as well when it comes to not only the curriculum, but also violence. So those are some of the things that are, you know, facing the district for the most part right now.
Hmm. And that's something that I've seen on the rise, too. Gateway Pundit, they keep showing, you know, incidents of violence in the schools. Teachers getting beaten, students being brutalized if they don't pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I didn't think it was as wide. I figured it was widespread across the country, even just not it being underreported, perhaps, but just stretching into Georgia, too.
So you're getting some school superintendents that are coming in, liberal school superintendents, like in Gwinnett County, which makes up most of the district of the 7th District in Georgia, that have a soft you don't call it crime, but call it, bad behavior policies, where there used to be a swifter process to get, you know, people expelled, or, you know, face some sort of, you know, tribunal and get them out of the system. So students that are there to learn can learn, and teachers feel safe, students feel safe. The statistics showed that, you know, minorities typically were the ones that were being expelled. But they were being expelled for good reason, right? Mm-hmm. So now there's a policy in place to give them more chances. So what we're seeing is they're hanging around longer, they're growing in larger numbers, and there's a culture that's being adopted of violence. There's been teachers that have been assaulted multiple times in Gwinnett County. I grew up and actually, you know, went to school in Gwinnett County, didn't have school shootings. We've had 4 this year. So, you know, the escalation of violence is very critical. I have 2 young daughters that are going to be growing up in the district. They're in school right now in the district, and my wife is a teacher in the district. So it's very top of mind right now, that and also just the curriculum that's being taught within the county.
And why are these teachers letting this happen? They should have learned. But the shooting in Broward County in Florida, was it 2018?
Yep.
The reason that happened is because they had this kind of soft on students policy. And that led to the student who should have been kicked out of the school, shouldn't have been anywhere near the school for months before the attack, being allowed in.
Yeah, it's not so much the teachers, it's the new superintendent that's come in, Dr. Watts. He has laid out this policy, and it's more for, you know, window dressing, right? You know, they didn't like the numbers showing that minorities were, you know, the majority when it comes to, you know, expulsions, you know, from school. So how do you stop that? Well, it's don't expel them as fast. But if they're being expelled for the right reasons, which is, you know, endangering students that are there to learn or endangering teachers that are there to teach, and you're letting them come back, then all of a sudden that sets a precedent that, okay, this is okay, and you can have multiple attempts, right? And they're not going to get, unfortunately, you know, a lot of them do come from, you know, broken or bad homes. They're not going to get that reinforcement at home to get that corrective action. So now they're being placed back into schools. I don't have the right or wrong response in terms of how do you fix that, because they're going to be, you know, expelled back into a home that maybe they're not going to be corrected. But they don't need to be back in schools harming both teachers and students that are just there to learn and teach.
I got to tell you, when I will admit on the air, I was a bad person in high school at one point. Now, how they handled it after expulsion was they didn't just send you to stay home. They put you in a school specifically designed for the bad kids. Metal detectors at the doors, security guards on site the whole time. So there is a way to do this. And, of course, the teachers, you know, kind of knew who they were dealing with in their student body. So it was, even though these were people in there specifically for weapons violations, not me, of course, and violence in the schools and all that, the staff there was sort of capable of handling it, more capable than the other schools. So maybe that's a solution that should be explored instead of just leaving them in the main student body where the good kids are.
Correct. And we do have those, the alternative schools, where they're put in there, and then sometimes they are expelled from there as well. I guess his thinking is that once you put them in there, they, you know, they're labeled as a bad kid. They're not going to be rehabilitated. So leaving them in you know, a regular public school and giving them more chances is going to have a better effect on them. Well, it's not working. So they need to be expelled. They need to go to the alternative schools to have that additional oversight. They don't need to be in public schools that are actually endangering the teachers and students. That's been a major issue that's affecting the district, and, you know, hope to have change on that soon.
Yeah, and I'm just going to put it out there. I went to, you know, I was just in there for one semester just about, but still after that, didn't hurt my record. I ended up going off to college and graduating, and now here I am a talk show host. So it's not like it's really that big of a stain on your record. Maybe you're not going to get into Harvard. But
right. I mean, and most people are not going to even see that. And you probably could get into Harvard, right? You know, if your grades come up and you rehabilitate yourself, and some people just come from a bad, you know, family background, but they need that additional oversight. Less oversight and trying to make that the norm is not going to help, right? It's only going to exacerbate the issue there. So, you know, it, like, you're a testimony to that, right? So we need more of those stories, and it can't happen.
Now then, other issues affecting Georgia's 7th District. Now, when you go to Congress, you'll be in a position. This issue is universal to all of the school districts across the country. So I'm sure there's some other common issues that we have going on in the 7th District that we all could learn from.
In regards to school or just in general?
In general.
Yeah, I mean, in general, you know, some of the things that, you know, I'm passionate about that's affecting our district, affecting our country, is big tech. You know, I don't know how much you've talked about that, but, you know, my background is in communications. And, you know, Section 230 right now is really, you know, at the crosshairs of tearing apart almost the liberty of this country. A simple clause that was put into the 1996 Telecommunications Act that was, at the time, you know, to basically light a spark to get people to adopt internet usage and not be afraid to be, you know, a platform for discussion, has now been a weapon, you know, for people to suppress voices, suppress real news, and it's affecting now down even to our elections, as we just saw in 2020 with the FBI, you know, leading on saying, hey, there may be some information, make sure it doesn't get out, make sure it doesn't get out. And they can claim, under Section 230, immunity to that. Congress needs to get that repealed. This needs to be something that's bipartisan, I think it can be done. It should be done. It's in the best interest of our country.
Yeah, I'm going to say we need more people with a tech background in Congress. I was talking, well, yesterday for us, but a week and a day ago for the Alan Nathan Show listeners, I was talking with somebody who was having that exact problem, that some of the congressmen we have in office right now, they don't even know how to work their email. They don't.
Right.
So how are they going to figure out what Section 230 is and how to best fix it, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people are leaning on, you know, the courts, right? And you just had, what was it, Gonzalez versus Google, right? Most of the judges are even punting this back to Congress. They're saying, why are we making rulings on this? It's so broad, and it was meant to be broad, and it was back in 1996 when the internet was, you know, in you know, such a just fetal position. You know, it wasn't a robust platform. So we need more people in Congress that can push it and actually know what they're talking about.
All right. Michael Corbin, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. Again, he's a Republican congressional candidate for Georgia's 7th District. And we have more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
The new Mayo Clinic diet has been named among the top diets by U.S. News & World Report. Dr. Donald Hensrud, medical director of the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program, explains what makes their program so effective.
Our new Mayo Clinic diet, built by a team of doctors and medical experts, focuses less on counting calories and more on empowering users with the knowledge and ability to maintain a healthy weight.
Members get access to exclusive content and videos from real Mayo Clinic doctors, healthy recipes, tracking tools, and the popular Habit Optimizer that helps users substitute old unhealthy habits with healthier ones, all through a mobile app.
Instead of fad diets or crash diets that rarely work for very long, our book and online program and app helps you adopt principles for a healthier way of life, which is really the secret to long-term success.
Curious to know how healthy your diet is? The Mayo Clinic has an easy 3-minute quiz. Go to mayoclinicdiet.com to find out.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt U.S. Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are still at CPAC, even though, again, today is, that you're hearing it, is at the very least March 11th. We're actually recording this March 3rd in the morning. So, things happen here at CPAC. We're actually supposed to have a guest show up, but my fault on that. I got no communications info from him whatsoever. So joining us now to pitch it, we have William Hellman. He's been assisting us today and yesterday, but you would have heard him last week on the Silk or Joe Show doing a segment there to fill in for yet another guest who didn't show up. And he is author of this book you see that I'm pointing at now. If you are watching this in the webcam, Big Fat Liars, Nine Core Lies of the Left-Wing Establishment. That is the title, in case you can't see it, because mostly this is an audio broadcast, but hopefully we'll have the video component on YouTube if I remember to do that. Anyway, William, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay, and I guess now all the guests can truly see I have a face made for radio.
Actually, they see most of your forehead and nose, but anyway. So, you have an article up on Medium about the Cuomo family. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's on my website, Medium. So I actually had this idea at the end of 2021 when Andrew Cuomo was resigning. And for those of you who read my book, you know that their father was also a corrupt piece of shit who also was involved in a court case where there was a violation of the Third Amendment, which is literally the easiest constitutional amendment not to violate, but he is the, you know, one of the only, the first person in the country who actually ended up defending a case where his state violated it. Although, to be fair, it did happen under his predecessor. But that's not like the only corrupt thing Mario Cuomo, the father, did, though. And I actually have a whole article about the three Cuomos and just how ridiculous they are.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the article. I didn't have a chance to read it because we were prepping for the show today, getting all of our stuff hooked up, all of our nice, sweet setup here. But I understand that just the brief part you had on Chris Cuomo was brief. You got like a paragraph on him while the rest is really focused on the rest of the family.
Well, yeah. When it comes to Mario Cuomo, you can talk about the case that I mentioned. The case with the violation of the Third Amendment was Engblom v. Kerry. But you can also talk about his mob connections. He was connected with the Gambino crime family. There was an article in 1986 where the author of the article actually connected to the Gambino crime family through Nicholas Santiago Sands. And he apparently was involved in some very shady dealings, getting an extension to the Pittsburgh airport built and stuff through his contracting company so that the mob could run drugs through it. And, of course, we all know his son, Andrew, who, you know, molested a bunch of women. He was also involved with the Moreland Commission, which basically, it ended up being disbanded and becoming a federal investigation. There's also the Buffalo Billions, his COVID-19 stuff. This is all stuff you can Google. Along with the sexual assault of women and the nipple rings. But as for Chris, he's like literally the Fredo of the family.
Right. Oh, keep going. Erstwhile guest, who I mentioned at the opening of the segment, has just shown up. As I said, I should have absolutely gotten him some communications info, but alas, I did not.
I mean, I'm sure he also has some thoughts on the Cuomo family.
Queued up the microphone. Go ahead, introduce yourself, please, because I have no information for you whatsoever. I might have lost your business card.
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. My name's Bo. I go by Bo Diddle online, and I do politics. I've been doing politics for about 3 years now, just documenting protests across the country. I go to LGBTQ rallies. I go to abortion rallies and just document kind of the insanity, the evil that goes on within these protests. So I just cover the evil. I've got assaulted multiple times. Got assaulted last week, actually.
Wow.
Do what?
I said wow. Yeah. Because, you know, these are the people who say mostly peaceful protesters, but there you go there and they beat you up.
Well, more than that, they say love and acceptance. That's the thing that gets me. All these people, they'll say we're the party of love and acceptance. And right before I intervened in the last protest. They were preaching on love and acceptance, and it was drag queens, and they were talking about how they're the party of love, and they'll love everyone, doesn't matter your race, ethnicity, color. But then as soon as I disagreed with them and brought up points rebuking child drag shows, they were like, no, and then they forced me out, got assaulted, got my megaphone thrown down, I had to press charges. So not much love and acceptance right there.
All right, now, for any listeners out there, you're thinking, well, he must have done something to deserve that. Did you?
No, I did not. So here's how I always start. I always start extremely peaceful, and I say, guys, I just want to talk to you. I mean, my questions are pretty biased, I'm going to be honest, but there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, I can have an opinion. You can have an opinion. It doesn't have to be the same opinion every time to get along. So I'll ask them questions, and then I start getting followed. People are like, you know, no, don't talk to him, don't talk to him. They block my freedom of speech. They block the camera. They block me from talking to anyone else. And I said, guys, I'm giving you one more chance. Get out of my way and let me talk to the people, or I'm going to have to use the megaphone. And they continue to harass me, so I had to use the megaphone. That's the only way I can get my voice across. So sure enough, I pulled out the megaphone, started to get loud, and yeah, that's when they tried assaulting me. They did assault me multiple times, and then at the very end, right when the police came to break it up, some guy just came, ran right through, grabbed the megaphone, threw it on the ground, shattered everywhere, and then ran away. So I pressed charges, but they couldn't locate the guy, so he's not going to get charged.
Yeah, sadly that's the case for a lot of times that this stuff happens. You know, someone runs up, attacks, and then leaves. You never know. No one has charges presses. It's almost like it encourages this kind of thing to happen because they know they'll just get away with it, especially if they can get away with it by virtue of anonymity.
I'm sorry.
This is like right out of their playbook. I actually have some experience with stuff, too. In 2020, I had a yard sign thrown at my back during a sign waving up on North Avenue in Baltimore. I've been screamed at, given the Nazi salute. But the Party of Love and Tolerance, when they're going around doing the Nazi salute at gay guys and stuff, it's kind of more like, not love and tolerance, accept me or I'll, you know, attack you.
Well, building off what you said on they'll know they'll get away with it, something I've been very disappointed in, I don't know what your viewers are going to think about what I'm about to say, but the police presence, I'm not the biggest fan of the way the police handles things, because as soon as that man assaulted me and damaged my property, he should have been immediately detained and just held to the side to let me be able to decide, do I want to press charges or not? And they just let him go. All they did was separate. And it's like, man, I just got my property damaged, stolen, and broken. They were also trying to steal my credit cards. And all they did was separate us. And then they let them walk away, free men, without any type of disciplinary action being taken to them. And all that's going to do is say, hey, I got away with it once, so let me go do it again. It gives no sort of discipline. It's like disciplining a child. You have to discipline a child to let them know right from wrong. And these people, they're being told it's okay, so I'm going to keep doing it. And so it's the lack of authority that I'm seeing. And it was also the day before that, back in Knoxville, Tennessee, I did another one. And I was backed into a corner in an alleyway. And I was screaming, like, please, please, I need police over here. Backed into a corner or an alleyway. And no police came. Yet there were police cars lining the streets. And they were just sitting there. And so if you're going to be police, you need to do your job and you need to do it better than you are. You don't need to overthrow or overassert your authority, but you also need to use your authority and use your authority correctly for the American people and keeping them safe.
Right. A lot of times, though, the police are given outright stand-down orders. And heck, this has been going on since 2015. The Freddie Gray protests in Baltimore police got the stand-down orders. But unfortunately, we are out of time for that. Folks, this is the Silk Orb Joe Show. I want to thank Bo Dill for dropping by. And, of course, William Hellman. He was pinch-hitting for a minute. And we have more Silk Orb Joe Show after this break.
The pandemic is just one factor that forced companies to rethink the way they conduct business. In addition to remote employees, companies are uploading more data to the cloud, and workers are using a wide variety of apps and devices. As a result, businesses are more susceptible to security breaches than ever before. For 10 years, the Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud has helped businesses improve security and minimize vulnerability. Security continues to be a top concern for businesses. According to JumpCloud Vice President Eric Brown, organizations need to reconsider their approach.
Identity is the new center of IT and the foundation around which all IT infrastructure should be built. That's where we at JumpCloud come in. We help companies and people make work happen with secure, frictionless access to the apps and data they need with an open directory platform designed for identity transformation.
To learn how JumpCloud can help your business, visit jumpcloud.com.
We definitely want to make sure that we don't overfeed our animals, because feeding our animals more is not love. You know, there's so many other ways you can show love, like throwing a ball and walking them and give them a little extra love.
The annual End Obesity Campaign by Hills is wonderful for a guy like me and Dr. Hodges, who are practicing veterinarians, because it's obesity, like you said, is one of those illnesses or conditions that we see most in the veterinary hospital. And it can be very difficult sometimes talking to clients about, you know, their patient being obese, you know. But Hills, with their campaign, have given us the tool to be able to get this message across. And it's something that they do annually. They've invested a lot of time, a lot of money into the research, into the pet food that we can use to help these animals that are obese.
So you can go to endpetobesity.com and you can learn a whole lot more about how you can actually use the love test, as well as learn more about Hills Pet Nutrition and ways to control your pet's weight.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
All right, welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Still at CPAC, still live as far as we're concerned, even though this is not airing until March 11th, but that's what happens when you air once at 1 hour per week and tape 2 days in a row. Anyway, we are joined right now by two people. One is an old friend of the show, so that's why we're saying his name first, even though everything else says that we should introduce the other guest first, former State Senator Ted Harvey. He is chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com. But we're also joined by Mark McCloskey. Y'all might remember him from the whole litigation from when he was just trying to defend his property during the 2020 riots. So welcome welcome you both to the show. How are you? I'll start with Mark McCloskey. How are you today?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you, Ted Arby. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Happy to have you both. So the self-defense of the home and all that, it seems to be under attack by the Biden administration, all these gun control measures and just the left in general. They don't seem to want us to protect our property.
Well, you know, the left loves chaos because out of chaos comes tyranny. And in many states in the country now where you've got castle doctrine or stand your ground doctrine, that's nice, but it doesn't save you from the Soros-funded prosecutor that wants to charge you in the first place. In Missouri, for example, most people don't know this. Even if you live in a state that's got a castle doctrine or stand your ground doctrine, they don't appreciate that's an affirmative defense. Meaning if the prosecutor wants to charge you with a crime, you have to raise it as an affirmative defense, and then both issues go to the jury. And if you're in a hostile environment like we are in the city of St. Louis, what's the likelihood that the jury is going to find that you had a right to defend yourself against a mob, because that mob looks a lot more like the jury than you do? And that's the problem right now. In Missouri right now, we're attempting to pass a new bill which would make the Castle Doctrine a bar to prosecution rather than an affirmative defense. So if you're doing nothing more than defending yourself, the state has to prove you are not before they can charge you.
Now, Ted Harvey, on the national scale, I don't think the Biden DOJ is going to like this too much. And, you know, we can have all the laws we want, but if no one's there enforcing them, that's a problem. Even with the gun laws that we have right now, these Soros-funded prosecutors, if you have the right skin color, sexual identity, or whatever, they're not going to bring a charge against you if you're illegally carrying a gun. Heck, in New York City, for a little bit, armed robbery was pretty much decriminalized.
You look in California, you look in D.C., you look across the country, armed robbery is, as long as you're under $1,000, you can pretty much take anything you want to take. And that's why when you don't have the rule of law, you have complete chaos and lawlessness, and that's what we're seeing in the blue cities and states across the country. And like Mark was saying, the Castle Doctrine only helps you if you are in Colorado, anyways, where I am from. If you are outside of your house and you're using your gun, like Mark was trying to do to protect him and his wife, the Castle Doctrine doesn't apply. So that in that situation in Colorado, they would be coming after you and charging you with everything they possibly can. And that's one of the main reasons why we need to have the right of self-defense outside of your house. If you are in fear of your life, you need to be able to defend yourselves. And with these radical prosecutors, they're not going to abide by the laws, even if we try to put something like that in place.
All right, now, Mark, illuminate for some of our listeners the kind of protesters and why you did what you did, because I know some of the people at home, they are thinking, well, I saw it in the news. These are just peaceful protesters. None of them have weapons. It's only the January 6th million who invaded the Capitol who did it, armed or whatever.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, in the night of June the 1st and June the 2nd after the George Floyd event, the people that are, you know, the champions of diversity, equity, and inclusion decided the way they could show love for downtown St. Louis is by burning it down. And they rioted and they looted and they shot four police officers and killed retired police Captain David Dorn about a half a mile from my house. And in the ensuing month, more and more of the businesses in the local area where I live in the city were trashed and vandalized and broken into. And then this Antifa organization run by, guess who, Cori Bush, and the state representative named Rasheen Aldridge, published a flyer saying they're going to have a mob action in my neighborhood. Well, my wife and I said we just weren't going to take it laying down. We'd watched a month where throughout the country, everybody's just allowing the riots to run free. And the vice president, now vice president of the United States, and everybody else was encouraging it. And we said, heck no, not in our neighborhood. It's not going to happen. And so that Sunday evening, June 28th of 2020, a mob of hundreds stormed down the street, tore down the gate into my neighborhood, flew into my front yard, and I stood out on the porch. I was having dinner with my wife and my 33-year-old daughter, and stood out in the corner of the porch, and I said the two most racist, white supremacist words in the English language. I said, private property. And being communist, that pissed them off, right? And then they start swarming in more and more. So I reached around where I had a stage, and I grabbed my AR-15, and I stood out on the porch. And you know, you would think that normally intelligent people, when faced with a middle-aged gentleman with a semi-automatic rifle asking them to go back, and I kept saying, private property, leave, get the H out of my neighborhood, you'd think they might like back up. But instead, they just keep coming closer and closer. Now, my wife and daughter went inside to call 911, and I thought they were still in there. And then all of a sudden, I see my wife show up on the grass in front of me, 3 feet from the mob, waving that little pistol overhead. She's never had a gun in her hand before. Wouldn't know how to use that gun if it had worked. And yet the people are there for 17 and a half minutes. The clip everybody saw on television was the last 32 seconds after almost everybody had left. But for 17 and a half minutes, we had hundreds of people in front of us screaming, murder, rape, arson, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to rape and murder your wife, I'm going to burn down your house, you got a business, your business is gone, we know where your office is, we're going to come back and burn it down, even threaten to kill my dog. And when you face hundreds of people screaming death and murder at you, it's something you just can't imagine. But that's the value of the Second Amendment. Two of us with two guns against a mob of hundreds, and by the way, they were armed, it has a deterrent effect. Even if you don't have to pull the trigger, even if you don't have to shoot anybody, we held them off. Well, and the thing that most people don't know, and I'll digress for just a second, is a mob came back that next Friday on July the 3rd, now threatening to kill us and burn down the house. And the mob numbered 1,000 at that time. But we couldn't hire any private security because nobody wanted the bad press. We were referred to an entity that does worldwide corporate security, a bunch of special forces guys. They'd gotten bad press over the Ferguson riots, the Michael Brown riots, and they wouldn't do it. So I asked the guy, what the heck am I supposed to do? And he says, well, if I were you, I'd just take whatever I can't live without, put it in the vehicles, and abandon the house. I said, in no effing way in heck we're going to do that. We'll go down to the ship if we have to, but we're not going to abandon the house. Well, I'd gotten a call from the White House earlier in the week, and the gentleman said the president wants to express his support. And if there's ever anything we can do for you, give us a call. Well, I called that guy back up, and I said, well, now's a pretty stinking good time, okay? So he gave me Mark Meadows' cell phone number, and I got a hold of Mark Meadows. Next call I made was to Tucker Carlson, and Tucker puts us on the air live and says, I'm talking to Mark McCloskey. The mob's coming back on Friday to kill him. I can hear Mrs. McCloskey sobbing in the background. If we don't do something, the police have been ordered to stand down. The state's not going to give them any aid. If we don't do something, they're going to get killed. Make a long story short, when the mob, now numbering 1,000, hit the gate that Friday evening at about 7, we had 6 ex-Navy SEALs, we had 10 secondary employment cops, we had the FBI light aircraft circling the top of the house, we had what we used to call in the Reagan administration, peace through superior firepower, and we held them off. And so, but that was the first time in this summer of love when anybody really stood up to the mob, when the government was there to back us instead of just abandon us. But we now have the 911 tapes, right? And you can hear the St. Louis dispatcher instructing the St. Louis police officers to not respond.
Wow.
Our tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
And you look at what was going on in Washington, D.C. at that time. You had then-Senator Kamala Harris encouraging people to be rioting. You had her putting together a bail fund to bail people out that were arrested for rioting across the country. That is the Democrats. And then you see what Trump was doing, which was sending people to protect people's lives, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and their private property. And that, I think that's a great example of the difference between the two parties. One party wants to encourage the burning down and riots and chaos on the streets of America. Another one wants to have law and order.
Right. And the one who wants to encourage the rioting and chaos is in power right now. Not much we can do about it, really, except hope that somehow Republicans...
But notice there hasn't been a Black Lives riot since Biden was elected.
Yeah, it's almost as if there was a central direction, thou shalt riot to destroy Trump, thou shalt not riot to support Joe Biden. But I can tell you this, out of the 350 to 500 people that broke down my gate, threatened to kill me, rape and murder my wife, burn down my house and burn down my office, not a single one of those people has done a day in jail. But then think about the people from January 6th that are rotting in solitary confinement, being denied medication, being tortured by all accounts, for what? For trespassing, for parading without a license, or for no charges at all? This is what the current administration does. It punishes and it intimidates people that would stand up for their rights. The reason why they prosecuted us, you know, I'm an independent professional. I don't owe anybody anything. You can't intimidate me socially, but we could afford to pay for the best lawyers in town. We could afford to defend ourselves, but most people can't. And think about Roger Stone and think about Mike Flynn and guys like that, where the government has just destroyed them economically, destroyed their you know, made the burden on their spirit so hard it's amazing that they could continue. But that's to chill and intimidate anybody that have the gall to stand up, because there's only one unforgivable crime in America today, and that's standing up against the left. And they will never forgive you for that crime.
Right, and we have less than a minute left, so I just want to conclude with the point that the people on the left themselves, who might think themselves safe, No, they're not, because I remember during the riots, they went into a neighborhood full of Democrats. One of them came out and said, what are you tearing down our neighborhood for? We're one of you. Nothing helped them. No. So they have
they're not burning down Republican households and communities. They're burning down their own communities, the inner city communities that could least afford to have their businesses shut down. They lose everything.
We'll have to leave that there. State Senator Ted Harvey from StopJoe.com. Mark McCloskey, appreciate being on the Silk or Joe Show.
IBM. Job seekers, students, and career changers want to pursue roles in science, technology, engineering, and math, but aren't familiar with career options. At the same time, online training and digital credentials are emerging as a recognized pathway to opportunity. Misconceptions about the cost of training and what's required are often roadblocks to success. To tackle this and bring STEM education closer to underrepresented communities, IBM Skills Build is announcing 45 new educational partners. IBM Skills Build is a free education program focused on underrepresented communities in tech, helping all develop valuable new skills and access to career opportunities. Justina Nixon St. Till, IBM Chief Impact Officer.
Technology training can have a transformational effect on a person's life. IBM is committed to raising awareness of the many roles that exist across industries in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. IBM Skills Build continues to grow with new partners around the world, working together to skill 30 million people by 2030.
For more, skillsbuild.org.
According to the new State of Security Preparedness 2023 study released by Avanti, approximately half of respondents said they are very prepared to meet the growing threat landscape, but expected safeguards are ignored a third of the time, and leaders are actually four times more likely to be victims of phishing compared to office workers. Avanti CEO Jeff Abbott.
Avanti surveyed 6,500 executive leaders, cybersecurity professionals, and office workers globally to understand the perception of today's cybersecurity threats and to find out how companies are preparing for next-generation cyber terror threats. The overwhelming majority of security professionals and leaders, 97%, told us their organizations are as prepared or more prepared today than 1 year ago. However, the threat of the unknown is as real as ever. In fact, only one in five of those same cybersecurity professionals would wager a chocolate bar on the state of their readiness.
To learn more, visit Avanti.com/cybersecurity report.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year.
Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. And again, gosh, I just turned away somebody, and our guest that we're supposed to have right now is running a hair late. Oof, very awkward moment here. A little bit too late to send for the guy who just walked away, but yep, that's what happens at CPAC. You know, someone doesn't show up, then someone who could have done it doesn't. It's a mess, but gosh. A lot of issues that this crowd is into today, and you can hear that nice crowd noise going on in the background. And again, listeners, for those of you who may have missed the rest of the show somehow, this is March 11th that you're hearing it at the earliest, but we're actually recording March 3rd, 11:50 a.m. right now. Well, 11:51, 11:52 a.m. right now, so yep. We are a bit behind the time, so to speak, so any current issues might be no longer current by the time you hear this. So I'm just going to go ahead and ramp a little bit because we're waiting for the guest to show up. I have an assistant who's working on tracking down the person. That's the importance of having an assistant here at CPAC. There's a big crowd here. Big crowd, easy to get lost, and the booth numbers aren't particularly articulated well. You just have a tiny little letter that says B9, and you hope someone understands that means booth 9. So the issues that we've covered on the show before have been very much impacting just about everybody you care to mention everywhere across the country. You know, whether it's protecting yourself when the left decides to send a mob, or whether it's education issues, as we were talking about in the opening segment of the show, or inflation, for example. And the Biden administration seems ill-equipped to handle it. Now, hopefully one of the goals of this CPAC here is to a meeting of the conservative minds and publicize conservative candidates to sort of get our part side of this going and get our solutions agreed upon, or at least make each other aware. You know, it's sort of how we meet off having a Republican GOP civil war, by, you know, getting to know each other, finding common ground and all of that. So how else are we going to withstand the onslaught of the left if we are disunited and we're unable to assemble effectively in groups like this, right? Because if we came in here the same way that we were talking, that the Democrats coming at us, you know, knives out, that's just not going to work. We can't afford to treat each other the same way that the other side treats us. Now, doesn't mean we can't let our own get away with screwing up a lot. Now, that's another topic that we've covered, not just on this show, but the Alan Nathan show as well. I've gone in. Actually, we had guests from CPAC on the Alan Nathan show yesterday. Yesterday as I'm recording it. It's actually March 2nd as you're hearing it. So it's just, we have to figure out a way to get our side together and, you know, figure out a way to get through our differences and figure out a way to get rid of the folks in power who are just really abusing our trust in them. Because the Biden administration, they're able to get away with this, and the Democrats in general, they're able to get away with as much as they can just because some of our folks in power just let them. You know, these Soros prosecutors, for example, people dump millions of dollars into their campaigns. No one's working on the campaigns on the opposition. In fact, in some cases, the opposition from the GOP is muted, if not non-existent, just because the people are never Trumpers or something like that. They don't want their candidate to the GOP candidate to win because he has the wrong type of GOP views. He's the Trump side of the GOP, for example, as opposed to being a candidate that they wanted to win. Even though the guy could have won, would have been great, would have done a lot more for the people that they're elected to serve, at the same time, it's not what the establishment wants. So we got to get past this mentality that establishment or nothing, or this mentality Trump or candidate or nothing, because, you know, maybe there is not a viable Trump candidate in that district who's running. Then people just will think maybe, oh, that means the establishment knocked it. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that the establishment knocked off the Trump competitor. It just might mean the guy was just the only Trump candidate there was two nuts or something like that. It slices both ways. Now, granted, the establishment of the party has much, much more control, much more money to push the control with, and they just, being the establishment, they have been around much, much longer as well, long enough to really tighten their iron grip on the party. So, but it doesn't necessarily mean that all of their candidates are bad or bad for you. It just means they're likely to be more interested in their own power, tightening their own authority over the party. Whereas these new candidates who coming in, while they are direct challenges to the authority of the establishment, they might not necessarily be the right people to be that challenge. They might be a little too radical. Both sides can make mistakes, and that's why we got to work together, work this out. We got to make sure no one on either side is exploiting this. And how do we do that? We got to get the right people into leadership. And to do that, you got to make sure that, you know, whoever you send your money to is the right person, at least the person you think will do best for that role. They can't really listen to the talking heads on either side or listen to the establishment on either side, because even the up-and-comers, they have their own establishment as well going for them. And there's got to be, as with any organization, the up-and-comers, the challengers, they're out there with their own little cliques and all that. So it's not something anything's immune for, because, well, that's just humanity and how humans work. So get rid of the humans, I guess, and you'll have perfection as far as everyone getting along, no one abusing anyone else. And that's another thing you got to look out for, too. Hypothetically, you replace the establishment with these up-and-comers or whatever that the establishment is trying to squash down. Well, did we really vet these folks, or did we just vote for them because they were anti-establishment? Now they get in, and boom, they're the new establishment. They're just as greedy and crooked as everyone else. That kind of is what happened with the Tea Party, wasn't it, back in 2010? This whole grassroots movement came out. Ooh, let's rally around the flag. Let's get in some newcomers, get some new blood in, and stop this Democrat administration that's run away. Well, what happened after that? They got Republicans in, but they were really, either they were crooked already or they were easily kowtowed. So then by the time you get to 2014, 2016, the GOP has become the same ineffective institution that we're stuck with right now, where all they do is say, hey, give us more money and give us more seats in the House and the Senate and give us the presidency and we'll finally make good on these campaign promises. But they never do. They just keep talking out their mouths and not delivering. And you, on the other hand, are delivering your cash to them. So, I don't know, maybe the solution is to remove money in politics. Didn't used to be this way, mind you. We had someone on, years and years ago. Why did I say years and years ago? We had a guest on, I think, last year, this show, the Alan Nathan Show, who was talking about how things actually used to be years and years ago. That's where the years and years ago comes into play. How you, being a politician was not a job. You go in, you do it for a little while, then you go back home to your regular life and your real business. But then suddenly it became a profession, and it became something that people managed to soak money up for. And it's crazy how everything had happened with all that. And some, humans became humans as usual, and suddenly what was once, a part-time job you might have versus your original trade suddenly became your trade. You became the professional politician. By being the professional politician, you're suddenly out of touch with the rest of reality, and you're really looking out for your own self. And that really is not what the Constitution was designed for. Actually, the Constitution was designed with the idea that people would be in their own self-interest, but they would be fighting each other. Unfortunately, once we got this professional political class, suddenly they realize they have a lot more in common with each other, soaking your money, than they do with you. You're just the piggy bank to them. You're where they get the money from. So both sides, suddenly the establishments suddenly came into being, start working together. It is entirely possible that we will see such a thing with the radical left and the radical right. You might see AOC and Marjorie Taylor Greene, not to name them, not to say that they would do it. Well, I'm out of time anyway. I can't hear the music, but folks, thanks for tuning in to Silk or Joe Show today. Be seeing you.
Network. Contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.